Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
I want to begin by a compliment just to tell you, if sometimes people just won't come out and say it, okay, but I will. You're the cream of the crop. And the reason I say that is you've taken time out of the first Sunday of the year to be in worship, and if I know your heart at all, it's because you want to be a better person in 2022. Am I pretty close to that?
Amen.
Yes. Okay. So you're way ahead of the hounds on that. Okay. The other thing I wanted to say is if you have written goals, for this coming year, you're in the top 10% of the people in America. So I'm going to encourage you, obviously, to think about that as we go through this sermon today, and hopefully maybe to write some goals. Okay, all right. And we got the new thing. We got that clock going up there. Is there anything that happens when it runs out of time? That. So I need to know about that. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So we got, and I chose the title for this sermon is When Jesus Comes to Town. And I know it's, does anybody know the song When Love Comes to Town? Yeah. This is When Jesus Comes to Town. And I chose the official presentation of Jesus to Jerusalem scripture reading, okay? And now we'll get that up on the board. As there it is. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread branches that they had brought from the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Let's go to the next. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David, Hosanna in the highest. Christ entered Jerusalem, went into the temple courts. He looked around, but since it was late already, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Jesus presents himself to Jerusalem now in an official way. He's presenting himself as Messiah. He's been to Jerusalem several times before, but now this is different because he's officially arriving and presenting himself as Messiah. And when Jesus comes to town, he changes everything. I thought Daryl did a really good job this morning. I thought he was going to preach some of my stuff this morning, but thank God he didn't. Okay. But Jesus, when he died on the cross later that week, this is the last week of Jesus here, when he dies on that cross and shed his blood for us, that ended all need for a sacramental, sacrificial system in the temple area there. Just ended it. He made it null and void when he died on the cross at the end of that week. And that's a huge statement. All them thousands of animals out in the fields, they don't have a purpose anymore. All those priests that worked around there, they don't have a purpose anymore. And Jesus actually ended that when he rode into Jerusalem. When Jesus comes to town, he changes everything. When he dies on the cross, the veil is torn from the top to the bottom that separated the Holy of Holies, where God was seen to reside. And when that opened up, it says, there is no more need for the Holy of Holies anymore. There's no more need for the temple anymore. because God now resides in the hearts of his people, not in temples made with stones. And just in case all those people didn't get the memo, and they didn't get the memo either, okay, 37 years, roughly 37 years from when Jesus dies on the cross, the temple will be reduced to a pile of rubble by the Romans. Now, you tell me, when Jesus comes to town, he changes everything. Amen? Okay. Now, we're about ready to enter a new year. Year that's never been used. We're about ready to go into 2022. And 2021 is over. Let's say that. It's over. It is in history now. It cannot be altered or changed in any way, no matter how much you want it to be different in some way. It cannot be changed in any way. So we got this new year that has come to us, 2022, and I suggest that we leave the old and go for the new. Amen? Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. By the way, what did she do that we ought to remember her for? She looked back. And because she looked back, she turned into a pillar of salt, paralyzed with any forward movement because she looked back. I suggest you don't look back very much. They might be gaining on you. Don't look back too much, but keep your eyes on what is ahead. So you want to cross from where you cannot have success, that is 2021, step over into 2022 where you have a chance of success. Now I wanted to, it is about what you feel like God wants you to be in this coming year. And it's about what you feel like God wants you to do in this coming year. Those two things. What is God calling you to in this coming year? And what is God calling you to be in this coming year? To do that, you need to be inspired. And that's my first point, that you need to be inspired. You will not raise your sights high enough without being inspired. You need to raise your sights and have goals that are challenging and exciting for you. Otherwise, you won't want to do them anyway. I mean, you just be in some kind of humdrum and that kind of thing. But you want to raise your sights. You see, we don't see enough. My son back there will talk to you about when he learned to see. We used to rabbit hunt. I don't know if anybody here did any rabbit hunting. Yeah, we used to rabbit hunt. Well, when there's a little bit of snow on the ground and you're out there hunting, the rabbit, and if it's cold, the rabbits will sit tight. Do you know what I mean by that? And you can see them if you learn how to. And I was out hunting with a pistol, 22 pistol, and we killed a rabbit or so. And my son said, how do you see them? How do you see them? And then I said, now there's one right there. We're looking through the bushes, there's one right there. And he couldn't see it. I said, it's right there. It's right there. And pretty soon, guess what? He saw the rabbit. And there, that's it. From there on, he'll see him from now on because he learned how to see. That's our problem. We don't see enough to really make these goals. So we need to be inspired so we see enough. Now, let me see. This should be our second Kings. Where is that? That's our next. This is a great story here. If you know this Old Testament story here, Elijah. Elisha is surrounded by this great army. They've come for him. And Elisha's servant wakes up in the morning and sees this, and he knows this is not good. All this army out here. And so he runs to his master, and he's wringing his hands, and he said, my Lord, what shall we do? Now, there's a lot of things you might be able to answer that prayer with, but the prophet knew exactly what the man needed. What did he need? He needed to be able to see more. That's all he needed. That's all he needed. And then so Elijah said, open his eyes, Lord, so that he, the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked around and saw that the hills were full of horsemen and chariots of fire for Elisha. God had his army there taking care of everything. What was the matter? The man couldn't see it until Elisha prayed for him, and he was able to see it. So you need to raise your sights. Amen? Yeah, let's say it. I'll say it. Raise your sights so that you're inspired to see more and to do more. Now, this is a harder one that I want to talk to you about. Have you ever noticed Christians, they're just sometimes too humble? Maybe you don't see that. They very often don't think of themselves enough. Well enough, I should say. They very often don't do that. And so you need to learn to trust God helping you. And this is what this next text we're going to read is about. Because most people don't think about how God is actually working in and through them. But I want you to listen to Paul here in Philippians. For it is God who is at work in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Now, God works two ways in the person. You see, God is at work in you right now trying to help you figure out what you need to set as your goal. That's God who's working, and you need to trust him to do that. Trust that God is at work in you to help you to figure out those goals. And then, not only will he help you to figure out those goals and get those goals down, he will help you to achieve them. And that will be his good purpose. So let God work in and through you, even in the decision-making. In other words, what would God want me to be like in this coming year? And that, in 1492, I love this stuff, okay? Because I got to go to Barcelona, it was a great trip. And I got to see the statue in memory and celebration of Christopher Columbus. That's where he took off from to discover the New World. Christopher Columbus left there to discover the Americas. And he left there, and Europe was in a turmoil. Europe had just wrestled with the plague, several different waves of it, that killed roughly a third. Now, just think. All three people you say, a third of the population was wiped out. Not only that, but they were wrestling with the tyranny of kings and queens. And on top of that, they had a caste system with lords and dukes. And on top of that, if that wasn't enough, they had the Inquisition. And it was dark and dreary in their minds. And they couldn't have any hope, hardly at all, for the future. And what happens? Christopher Columbus set sails, discovered a whole new world, and opened up an exuberance of humanity that the likes of the world have never seen in times past, and actually has not seen again anything like that to our known history, put it that way, our known history. In the face, while most people were in the, it's awful, the future is awful, and terrible, but what happens? He set sail and discovered a whole new world. Don't let that feeling bad about yourself hold you down and keep you back. Now, beyond a question, the most inspiring figure in all of human history has been Jesus Christ himself. He's just the most inspiring figure. And those who come face to face with him are changed drastically. And I want to just look at this one from Luke. How many of you know that silly song? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man with thee. He climbed up in a sycamore tree. The Lord, he wanted to see. Yeah, I remember that. I remember that song. I got that. But it's a great, it's cute, it's good. But what would cause a tax collector to run through the crowd, climb a tree, just to take a look and see what this guy was like, this Jesus Christ? I mean, what would cause a person to do that? What's he looking for? Well, he gets a look at Jesus, and he is not disappointed. And Jesus walks underneath the tree and says, Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your house today, and he's going to have lunch. And without prompting, Jesus doesn't prompt him in any way. What does he say? Half my goods I give to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone, I'll pay it back fourfold, without prompting from Jesus. And Jesus hears this, and he celebrates that by saying, he's now acting like a child of Abraham. And what is happening is that fresh Spirit of God is blowing through the life of this man and making correct and inspiring him to do what he needs to do. Let the Lord do that to you in this time. Let him inspire you and help you to discover that. I want to do this other one with this lady that Jesus meets at the well too, and how she's inspired. By the way, that's my great grandchild who's making all the noise back there. Doesn't that seem right? I mean, you talk about miracles. Me and my wife are living to see great-grandchildren. Amen. Amen. So, Jesus meets this woman at the well. Do we have that one? Let's look, go to that John text. That's the next one. Next slide. There it is. So, Jesus meets this woman at the well, and they have some interaction. But what would cause her? Because she tries to avoid people. What would cause her to stay engaged with Jesus Christ for so long? And I'm thinking that somehow she knew that Jesus loved her so much that what she had done, no matter what she had done, and no matter who she was, it would not affect that love. And somehow she felt that down deep in, and she is completely changed by it. Listen, she leaves her water jar there, and then here comes the disciples, and they wouldn't ask, why were you talking to her? Or what did you want when you... The disciples afraid to deal with that. They, You know, they're afraid of the answer to that. They sure don't want that. But leaving her water jar, the woman went back into the town and said to the people, and she gathered up a bunch of them to come out and see Jesus. Now, what we're supposed to do here is contrast the disciples and her. The disciples went into the town, and what did they come back with? Anybody know? They came back with lunch. Yeah. And they're pretty proud of themselves for that. The woman goes into the town, what she come back with? Souls for Jesus. She's completely changed. She's no longer avoiding people. She's going out to meet them. She is changed. Just meeting Jesus, just having him in our lives will help us to change, and we'll discover what we need to change as well. My first point is always, you need to be inspired. Need to be inspired. Lift your sights. Lift your sights. Have your goals that are exciting and work on them. The Lord is helping you to do that, and he'll also help you to achieve those goals. Now I want to take the next thing, which is hope. I want to talk to you about that. I was wrestling whether I was going to try to talk to you about this or not, but I'm going to work on it. I hope it comes off right. A few years ago now, I just happened to see that there was this young girl, and I think her name was Gretchen, if I'm not sure. I mean, if I remember right, but I'm not terribly sure about that. She was speaking to the UN. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. She was talking to the UN, and what drew my attention to the little blurb that I seen about her was she was so filled with fear and with trepidation, and there was also a mixture of anger in that, because she was angry with adults who had ruined the planet for her. But she was afraid there wasn't going to be much future anyway. And so she talked like that. And I'm thinking, who's been talking to this girl? What have they been telling her? That borders on child abuse. Telling her that the future, maybe like Ted Danson or Al Gore said, we only got 10 years in the planet to make it before we get things. By the way, wasn't that about 20 years ago now? Huh? Yeah. And any of these doomsday prophets, you know, they're always wrong. They're always wrong. I know when I was in high school and stuff, they were worried about the population explosion. We're all going to starve to death because there's going to be too many people. Well, we seem to be doing just fine. Have you looked around? We're doing just fine. And that explosion came and went. I didn't even hear it go off. Yeah. These dudes, they have no hope. You need to have hope for your future. It's no wonder some of these young people slip off into nihilism and think it's all right to shoot their fellow students, because they don't have any hope for the future. They lost it. We need to have some sense of hope for the future. And the Bible is just full of hope. Matter of fact, one of the guys wrote a whole theology on hope, and I thought, boy, that was really good stuff. You know what he said? He said, every unfulfilled promise in the Bible is pregnant with hope. I heard that. Oh, now that makes sense to me. I could go along with it. Did you get that? Yes, I get that. So the Bible just filled with hope, just from the front to the back. Now, Ecclesiastes, how many of you ever read that? So we got more readers. Amen. Okay, Ecclesiastes, one of my favorites, okay. Jerry, this is where the animals come in, okay? All right. Anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better than a dead lion. Now, I love that stuff. I just love that. Okay. Should you have hope? Well, let me see. Are you among the living? Did you check your pulse? Oh, I can hear you still breathing. There's hope for you. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. No matter how strong that lion is, no matter how brave that lion is, no matter about what that lion is, that lion has no chance of achievement and no chance to be different if it is dead. But the lowly dog, no matter how hated that dog is, still has hope because what? It's alive and has a chance for achievement and a chance for success. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Yeah, I love all those animals. Also, I might need to remind you here somewhat what Ecclesiastes would do, that even a blind hog will find an acorn if he stays in the woods long enough. That was one of them animals that just, but it's true. It's true. I don't know why I'm thinking about my son a lot today. So he says to me, this has been years ago, he said, Dad, why does everybody love you? I told him, well, son, I outlived all them so-and-sos that hated me. I cleaned that up for you. You know that. But it's not a bad strategy. It's not. Just pick up on it and go with it. Okay? Now, the next one is a little bit, we're still on hope. We're trying to see where the Bible wants us to have hope. And this is Isaiah. This is a classic here. Most people know this one. Okay. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. You can, you need, if you hope in God, He'll take care of you. We were vacationing our family in the 70s here. And I got a call from one of the deacons at the church that Bob Daniels was in an accident and was killed. And this is a good man. I mean, just a really good man, Bob Daniels. He and I served the Lord together in a lot of different ways. And my heart was broke, first of all, okay. But Dewey called me, and Dewey was such a good man, too. And Dewey says, you got to come home for this. I said, I know. And God provided wings of eagles and took me up to Jacksonville, put me on an airplane. I flew home to do that terrible, terrible funeral for Bob Daniels. A lovely man, just a lovely man. And I did that. But I had wings of eagles to fly over. On the way down, we looked at the Smoky Mountains. There won't be any side tours or anything. You're going to fly home and do that funeral. And I did that. I tell you, God gave me wings of eagles to fly home on. Other things you just run through. Some things you just need to run through. You got to go, but you don't have to spend any time there. Like the dentist office. I'm getting a lot of dental work done now, and boy, I'll tell you, I don't want to go, and I'll run through there. Lord will give you strength to do that. Just run through there. He'll help you. But sometimes the most difficult thing is to put one foot in front of another and just keep going. And that's why you'll walk and not faint. Sometimes just the hardest thing is to get through that night of terror. He'll help you when you need it. You can hope in the Lord. I better get going here. I better move on here. Okay. I know. I know. But what do we do? Jesus changes everything. You need to be inspired. Okay. You need to be inspired. You don't see enough. And then number two, Lord will give you hope. You need to have that hope. And don't be ashamed. It's there for you. And third one, it's a little more difficult to talk about. And the third point is, in spite of. Just in spite of. In spite of your doubts. You may doubt that I'm not, you may feel about yourself, I'm not smart enough. Or I'm too young, or I'm too old, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny. Just fill in the blanks. But we often do that. Well, in spite of the doubts that you have, go for it anyway. And develop a little grit, will you? Just develop that as you go. But in spite of, listen to this one. Here, this is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Most of you know the story, amen? Okay, but listen to them, how they talk. Let's go to that slide. If we are thrown into the blazing fire, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hands. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods, worship or the image or of gold that you have set up. And what are they telling the king? You may kill us by throwing us into the fire. We may burn up, but you ain't getting no bow down today, and you're not getting any obey today. That's what you're not going to get, regardless. That's the attitude we like, isn't it? Amen. Get a little grit about yourself. Get a little tough. Yeah. Fuck up. Get a backbone. And quit letting these bad deals push you around and bully you. Just put us into that. Just stop that. You've got bigger fish to fry than to mess with that. Yes. Okay. I'm good. I need to make sure this is together. Let's look at Habakkuk. Okay, and we will. I'm talking about getting this grit about you and believing anyway, in spite of. Okay? Habakkuk is a great philosopher, prophet of the Old Testament. He's the one who penned, "The just shall live by faith," which Paul quotes twice in his writings. The writer of Hebrews quotes it once. That's how important that, just that, this, I would love to have written something like that, wouldn't you? But he was concerned, because these Babylonian sinners was swallowing up Israel. And he was concerned about that. And he couldn't make any sense out of that, is why God will allow the wicked to swallow up the righteous. He couldn't figure that out. That's hard. But listen to where he comes from. If you want to read this part, you talk about a little grit here. Listen to this grit. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in God my Savior. That little grit. You need to have a little grit about you. I think let's go scroll down. I want to go to the next one. That's the conclusion. Keep going. I think it's on there. It's Mark. Go to the next one. Now we'll do the close with this one, okay? Dear friends, now we are the children of God. Amen. Are you a child of God? I really wanted to cover that in the first. Amen. I wanted to cover that in the first when Jesus died for our sins. I want to make sure that we're on the same page and we know about that. And Joey's going to come lead us in a prayer a little later too, okay, about that. But we are the children of God. Amen. Look at the person next to you. Just take a glance at them. Don't laugh. I'll look at the person on the other side. That's the children of God. And if you talk to God bad about his kids, he probably won't help you a lot. So the children of God. Let's just see, okay? And what we will be has not yet been made known. That person you just looked at you, that you just looked at on both sides, if they commit themselves to Jesus Christ and those goals through this coming year, there's no telling. You won't even recognize them by next year. No telling what they'll turn into. I don't know. Even God knows. I don't know that. I don't know. But he said, it doesn't appear what we shall be. No telling what can happen and no telling what you can turn into given a year of committing to be not just good things, but the best things for you. Be inspired. Raise your sights. Let hope be a friend and companion for this coming year and develop some grit about yourself and do it in spite of the rest. Amen. Let's just stand where we are, if you will. And then I'm gonna close with this, okay? No telling what God can do in and through you. And you can't dream up. And you will not ask for any more than he can do in and through you. Do your best to raise your sights and to set new goals for yourself. Do your best to have hope as your companion. God wants you to have hope. The Bible is full of that. And then develop that grit about yourself, that you will actually achieve that. You've got bigger fish to fry. Don't let doubt and bad things bully you and push you around, but stand up to them. And always remember, a living dog is better than a dead lion. Thank you.
Thank you, Barry. I just had a sense when you came up here today that God was going to use you to touch people. You've touched me today. I talk a lot about hope, the future. I love that because we can get wrapped up in the little things, the bad things, but that's not why Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. Church family, whether you're here in person or you're watching online, the first Sunday of 2022 is a great time for a couple of things. One is, if you've never established a relationship with that God that gives you that hope, we're going to give you an opportunity today. And then for the ones of us that have established that relationship, we need to renew it daily. We need to start fresh every day. Recommit ourselves to live for the God that created us. We're going to point out some great things. We don't have a clue of everything God wants to do in and through us. I know if I saw it all at once, I'd probably run away. It would be overwhelming and scary. But God's got great plans for us. The world needs hope. who he has placed on this earth to share that hope with the hopeless. I don't know if you know it, but Flagler County ranks up one of the top counties in the state of Florida for suicide. Very high. State of Florida. So many reasons people take their own lives. But somewhere there has to be the lack of hope. Jesus didn't die on the cross so people could take their lives because of a lack of hope. He puts that hope in your heart, in your mind. He gives you the words. He gives you the compassion. He gives you the ability to love people, to serve people so that they will experience that hope that he wants every person on earth to experience. You know, his word says, whosoever. It doesn't say if you chosen. It doesn't say ones that have money or ones that are good people. Whosoever can establish that relationship with God. So we're going to do something here as a church family that we do pretty much every week. And I love it. It never gets old to me. Because whether your heart's pounding fast and you feel God, you may not know what it is, but you know there's something going on inside. And you know God is reaching out to you this morning and wants you to give your life to him for the very first time. Or whether you need a fresh start. Things may be going pretty well, but you just know that in 2022, God's going to do great things in and through you. So church family, if you'll pray out loud with us, anyone that would like to establish that relationship with God, just repeat after me. Remember, it's not the words we say. The words are an expression of what's going on in our minds and our hearts. Father God, thank you for being our hope, for sending your son to die on that cross so that we don't have to die for our sins. Today, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Please give me the hope you have for me. And give me that hope to share with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or maybe that's the 100th time you've prayed it, congratulations. Man, life is good when we have that relationship with God. If that was your first time that you prayed that prayer, or if there's something that's going on in your life you would like the pastors, the elders to know about, please put it on a Connect card. Turn it in the Connect corner. There'll be some folks up front. If you would like prayer at the end of the service about anything, feel free to come up. But before we go today,